You may have your seat, and as you're doing that, you want to open your Bibles, please, with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 68. I'll read a verse or two there, and then we'll go to the book of Judges. The book of Psalms, if you just open your Bible into the middle, I'm sure you'll get into Psalms. Psalm chapter 68, from verse 5. This is talking about God. A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. Verse number 6. God sets the solitary in families. Stop. God sets the solitaries in families. Judges chapter number 5. The book of Judges chapter number 5. I'll read a few verses there as well. So Judges is just after Joshua, I believe before Ruth. Judges chapter number 5. I just want you to pay attention to what we're going to be reading before we may not have the opportunity of coming there again. Verse 1. Then Deborah, Judges chapter number 5, verse 1. Then Deborah and Barak the son of Abinoam sang on that day, saying, when leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. When leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. I'll jump to verse 23. Verse 23 of the same Judges chapter 5. Cause Meroz, said the angel of the Lord, cause its inhabitants bitterly, because they did not come to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Shall we pray? Father, breathe upon your word this morning. Let this word come alive unto us. Let there be illumination as we speak your word this morning. Let there be impartation of life and of grace upon us. I ask that you anoint the ears and the heart of your people, that they will receive this word and be challenged by it and run with it. I also ask, O Lord, that you anoint me afresh and make my pen to become like the pen of a ready writer. Let the word flow out of me this morning like a stream of living water, in accuracy and in power and simplicity, in the love and in the comfort of the Spirit of the Lord, so that all of us together will have been tremendously blessed by your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This morning, by the grace of God, I'm going to be speaking and sharing with you as a family on what I've titled, Escaping the Curse of Meroz. Escaping the Curse. Curse is spelled C-U-R-S-E of Meroz. Meroz is spelled M-E-R-O-Z. Escaping the Curse of Meroz. I'm sure one of the things that will come to your mind is, what sort of a title is this? Why should we be talking about curses in church when we're supposed to be talking about blessing? Shouldn't we be talking about blessing rather than curses? Now, the reason for that is because it is important for us to talk about curses in church because it is important to know how not to get under the umbrella of curses. It is important for us to know how not to trigger the things that will bring a curse upon us as a people. So it is indeed a blessing to know how to escape curses. I'll say that again. It is indeed a blessing for anyone to know how to escape curses. So in this family talk this morning, the Lord has laid a message upon my heart to let you know how you are not going to be a partaker of the curses that reigns upon the world. Because the world is cursed. It is, as people will say, tending to zero. Because there is a curse upon the earth. Now, but upon the people of God, there is a blessing. Now, so it is important for us as a people of God to stay under the blessing and not partake of the curses that is upon the world. And that's why it is important what we're talking about this morning. Escaping the curses, or rather escaping the curse of Meroz. Now, it will surprise you that the Lord does not just pronounce blessing. The Lord does pronounce curses. In Genesis chapter number 12, the Bible says, talking about Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. The blessing upon Abraham was not just a blessing to Abraham. It was also a pronouncement of a curse upon the people or the forces that will want to curse Abraham. That's what I call a blessing that curses. So you are blessed beyond curses. So that if there is a target of the arrow of the enemy towards Abraham, the point where that arrow comes from, the Lord has placed a judgment upon it. And I'm talking metaphorically now. Because there are the arrows, the Bible talks about the arrows that flies by day. So the Lord does pronounce blessing upon people and also has the ability to pronounce a curse. I will bless those who bless you, Abraham, and trust me, I'm going to curse those who curse you. The Lord Jesus, in his earthly ministry, the Bible says, he spoke to the fig tree and he said, no one else will eat a fruit from you anymore from this day forward. And the disciples were amazed when they came to that tree the following day. And Peter said, look, Master, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. So there was a pronouncement of a curse from the Lord Jesus. As a matter of fact, if you check in Matthew chapter 23, when Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, he would say things like, woe unto you, Pharisees. Woe means curse. You are cursed. So we see the Lord Jesus pronouncing a curse, just like we have seen him there in several places in the Bible pronouncing blessings. So the Father curses, the Son does the same if it's required. What about the Holy Spirit? Of course, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, talking about Peter, or rather Paul, he was preaching to a particular man in Acts chapter number 13, I believe, and there was this particular man by the name Elimas who wouldn't want the man that Paul was preaching to receive the gospel. And the Bible says, and Paul, being filled with the Holy Spirit, cursed that man. And the Bible says he became blind for a season. So we see the Father having the ability to curse, the Son, the same, the Holy Spirit, under whose influence Paul operated at that time, placed a curse. So we're dealing with a God that is actually totally in charge of life. He's able to bless and he's able to curse. Now, there are certain things that the Lord has pronounced a blessing upon, and there are certain things that the Lord has pronounced a curse upon. So it is important for a blessed son or daughter of God to know the things that have been cursed so that he does not put his hand in the cursed things. Why? Because when you put your hands on the things that are caused by God, you trigger the law that causes that curse to come to effect. Are you following me this morning? You trigger a first that causes the curse to come to effect. Now, note this. Blessings come upon people for a reason. Curses also come upon people for a reason. That's why the Bible says, Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2, a curse that is curseless will not alight. A curse that has no reason will not stay. That's what it means. In fact, it describes it, it likens it to a bird, like a floating bear and a flying sparrow. So a curse that has no curse will not alight. A curse that has no reason will not come. Okay. The reason why I went into that is for us to know that we are blessed as God's people. But it is important that we don't put our hands in things that provokes the law that curses. Now, And one of the things that makes it very dangerous is this. When a man is cursed by the devil or demonic forces or by people, as they do, often and again. Now, there is a remedy because there is a God you can run to. Okay? But when the curse that comes upon a man is placed on him by God, if the curse is placed on him by God, then that man is finished. Because there is no higher court to go to. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, just reverse that. If the Lord be against a man, no one can deliver him. Why? Because he's operating under a curse. Just stay with me, okay? We're going somewhere together. Now, the Lord, the Bible says, he sets the solitary in families. So when we got born again, what God does is that it brings us into the family of God. And more than that is that he sets us in a local assembly that is called a family. So Hill City Church, for instance, is a family. It's a family of God. A macrocosm, as it were, of the larger family of God worldwide. What we call the global body of Christ. So he plants people there. Now, he plants people there for a reason. For a reason because he wants to continue to for them to have fellowship with other believers. He wants to continue to bless them within the context of the family. And at the same time, he requires individuals planted in a family to make contributions to that family. That's what makes them an active part of the family. So when the Lord saves us, he doesn't want us to be visitors in the body. He makes us to be a member of the family of God and a member of a community of faith. So in the community of faith has a responsibility to nourish the person that is planted, and the person that is planted, as he grows in the faith, has a responsibility to minister to the body into which he is planted. Am I communicating to you, people of God? That's the way it works. So, when does a person start getting to come under a curse as a member of a family? The way we can understand that is the way is by unraveling the reason why Meroz was cursed. Now, what's a curse? It's just the opposite of a blessing. What's a blessing? A blessing is an empowerment to prosper. It's an empowerment to achieve. So when the Lord says, I will bless Abraham, it means I'm going to empower you to achieve, to prosper. So curse means you are disempowered. You lack the capacity to prosper is taken from you. The ability to achieve, you are deprived of it. That's what it means to come under a curse. And that's what it means that there is no much effort that you can do that can get you to where you intend to go. Why? Because you are under a curse that disempower you to do it, to achieve it. Blessing gives acceleration to your motion. Okay? Curses get you grounded. Okay, so when we're talking about curses, I don't want you to be thinking about black magic, like it will appear to be to be much known, in parts of Asia and Africa. It is a disempowering. You are disempowering the person from achieving. That's what it means to come under a curse. Like I said, the world that we live in is under a curse, but we as people of God, because we belong to a different kingdom. We are under the blessing of God. But it is important, like I said, for us not to put our hands in things that are cursed. There are elements in this world that are cursed. There are behaviors that are cursed. There are things that people get into that they immediately trigger. You know, the other time Tony was working in the new building and he triggered the alarm. You know? He pressed some wrong buttons, praise God. I'm not reporting you, Tony, okay? I'm just... and he triggered an alarm, and there was noise everywhere, okay? That's what the way it is. He is a legitimate, he has the key to that place, okay? He was given the key to that place. So he has the right to be in that place. But for some reason, he pressed some wrong figures and he triggered the alarm. That's exactly the way it is. As people of God, we have the legitimate right to become under the covering of God and to experience the blessing of God. But there are some wrong figures that we put our hands into that triggers the alarm. And when it triggers this alarm is called curses. There is a removal of an empowerment to prosper from that person. The verse we have just read says two things, actually. In verse 2, it says, when leaders lead in Israel, when the people of God, or when the people willingly, I want you to know that, willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. It's given a picture of a perfect walking of the family of God. It's given a picture of a perfect walking of a community of faith. When there is a leader that leads, and that's what we try to pattern in this house. We don't want a leader that asks the people that are being led, so where should we turn next? Because that's a dangerous leader. The leader is appointed of God, given a mandate and a vision to lead the people of God. When the leaders lead and the people of God willingly offer themselves, they give themselves to the direction of the leading of the leader, he said, bless the Lord. Why? Because that's a perfect scenario. That's the way it should be. Because in this instance, by the grace of God, the leader is leading as an under-shepherd, as it were, under the true bishop and shepherd of our soul in this church, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's leading under the guidance of the Spirit of the Lord. And the Bible says, and when the people willingly offer themselves, they give themselves. So what are we doing? Yeah, let's go for it. So the leader gives the direction, and there is the people who willingly give themselves to accomplishing it. Say, bless the Lord. That's the way it should be. In verse 23, it says, cause ye merrows. Now, before we understand why that statement was made, I will need to take you back to what happened in chapter 4 of the same book. And we don't have all the time. I will just give you the story. In chapter 4 of the book of Judges, what happened was there was a leader by the name of Deborah. People call him Debbie, or call her Debbie now, you know. There was a pattern, before I talk about, there was a pattern established by the children of Israel in their time. And what was the pattern? The pattern is they will offend, they will get oppressed, and then they will repent, and then they will be delivered. So it's offend, oppressed, repent, delivered. They will move away from God after some years, you know. When you read that place, you think, what's wrong with these guys? What's wrong with them? They will be in plenty and enjoy God, and then they will offend. They will go away from God. If you read chapter number 4, they went away from God. And then the Lord will deliver them out into the enemy to be oppressed. And then after some time, it appears the oppression will bring them back to their senses. You know, it will juggle. Oh, no, this is not supposed to be. They will repent. And after repenting and coming to God, Lord, we're sorry. We're sorry. The Lord will deliver them. That was the kind of a cycle that was running in them. And then at this time, they had been delivered because of their offense to this king called King Jabin of Canaan. King Jabin of Canaan had a man over his army called Sisera. And this was a mighty army. The Bible talks about them having about some chariots of, you know, what you refer to today as maybe Amok tank or some sophisticated weapon of their days. And they were oppressing the children of Israel. That was when Deborah was a judge in the land. She was a prophetess, and she became the judge. At that time, they didn't have a king, so what they had were judges. So, but the word of the Lord came to Deborah at that time, and Deborah sensed that the Lord wanted to deliver Israel. And to deliver Israel, Deborah called on a man by the name Barak. Not Obama, okay? Barak, to go and fight against their oppressors, the Canaanites, to deliver Israel out of their hands. Are you following this story? Where we're going is why Meroz got cursed by God. Now, so Barak came to Deborah. He said, "Deborah, I would like to do this, but you have to go with me." You know, that was the man asking the woman to go with him. And Deborah said, "You should be able to go to yourself, but if you think that I should go with you, the Lord will bring victory to Israel, right? But it's not going to be through you, it's going to be through a woman. So you will have lost the accolades that should have come to the army general for winning a war for Israel." So Israel was a house. In fact, the Bible refers to it as a house of Israel. Just like we have a house of Hill City. And there are members in this church. Now, at that time, Israel had, of course, as we know, 12 tribes. And so Barak haven't got the backing of Deborah, who initiated the call to actually defend, to take back their, to fight against the Canaanites. He decided that he was going to call the children of Israel to come to him so that they will form an army against their oppressors, the Canaanites. So Barak gave calls to people. But some people did not come. Some people did not show up. It was supposed to be a battle to deliver the entire nation of Israel, the entire house of God, as it were. It was a vision to move a people to a future that the Lord has shown to the leader. But some people did not show up. Now, in chapter number 5, you now have a kind of a duet, because the Bible talks about Deborah and Barak singing this song. It was supposed to be a song of celebration and excitement. We have won the war. We've won this war, and just celebrating with the people and just thanking the Lord. But in the midst of that song, I believe the Spirit of the Lord allowed these people, Deborah and Barak, to mention certain things that happened during the battle that needs to be recorded. I believe not just for them, but for us, to whom the end of the world has come. And what was recorded? Verse 23 records a situation where there is a town by the name Meroz. There are still debates about where exactly this town was, because this seems to be the only place in the Bible where you will find this name Meroz. But what we know is that it was a town. And this town was actually, according to scholars, very close to the place where the battle was taking place, the Kishon, they call it. But they chose not to come to the battle. They were part of Israel. They belonged to the house of Israel. So they are members of the family of the house, of the same house. But when Barak called, "Guys, it is time to move forward. There is the vision that the Lord has given to us as a house of Israel," they did not show up. And that's why the Bible says, "Curse Meroz." Why? Verse number 23. We'll look at that together. "Curse Meroz," said the angel of the Lord. Curse its inhabitants bitterly. Now, that passage rendered in the original means cursed with the cursing. It means it is a double layer of curses that came upon these people. Don't forget, like I said, they are members of the household of Israel. They reside in this small town. But when they were called to come and join forces with the people of God and move the nation forward, the house of Israel forward, deliver them from the oppression of the Canaanites, they chose not to come. And the Bible says there was a pronouncement of a curse upon that town. And it is probably not any wonder to us today, because we don't even have a trace of them in history. Why? Because there was a double curse, as it were. The curse that came upon them was terrible. Curse Meroz. The Bible says, because, why? Because they did not come to the help of the Lord. Ooh, so the Lord needs to be helped. They did not come to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Now, look at that statement. It's not even saying they did not come to the help of Barak, because it was Barak that called them to come and join forces with him. But the assignment that was given to Barak was given to him by who? By the Lord. By the Lord. So when this curse was going to be placed upon them, it was placed upon them because they did not come to heed the call of the Lord that gave it to Barak to accomplish. Are you following what I'm saying this morning? Exactly the same way. There is a vision that the Lord has given to us as a house. And there are people in this house. And the people in this house are supposed to join forces together to advance the vision. Now, but it is dangerous to assume a position of, I don't hear. Why? Because it moves you away from the covering of blessing of the house. It actually exposes the person to a curse. It exposes the person to being disempowered from prospering. Why? Because the person is supposed to be part of the house, but he or she has chosen not to make a contribution to the moving forward of the house. And that's what exposes men and women, even in the kingdom, to curses. Now, look at what the example that was given in Judges chapter number 5. If you want to put the message translation on, please. I will read from verse 13. So the call went out from Barak, and this was the response of the different tribes in Israel. Then the remnants went down to greet the brave ones. The people of God joined the mighty ones. The captains from where? I want you to say it loud, people of God. From Ephraim. Ephraim was a tribe in Israel. The captain from Ephraim came to the valley behind you. Benjamin, with your troop, captains marched down from Machir. Machir is from the tribe of Manasseh. Machir happened to be the grandson of Joseph. So Joseph had Manasseh, and then Manasseh had this one. So when they mention the name of those people, they are talking about their tribe. Okay? Captains marched down from Zebulun. High-ranking leaders came down. Keep going. Issachar is another tribe in Israel. Princes rallied to Deborah. Issachar stood fast with Barak, backing him up on the field of battle. Now, listen to what happens in Reuben. Reuben happened to be a tribe in Israel as well, okay? But in Reuben's division, there was much second-guessing. Why all this campfire discussion? There was a battle taking place. And then, rather than Reuben, the tribe of Reuben and his men and mighty people to join forces with God and accomplish the task, they started having deliberations, committee meetings, thinking. The King James Version says they had great searching of heart. Just thinking about it. You know, there are people in the house that keep thinking about doing things. They've been thinking about it from years past, and they still keep thinking. Rather than getting and joining the forces with the people and see, what can I do to move this house forward? What's my part? Why am I here? They keep thinking. They keep talking about it. Okay, let's go to the next one. But in Reuben's division, there was much second-guessing. Why all those campfire discussions? Diverted and distracted. Reuben's division could not make up their minds. You know, another translation says, but in Reuben's division, they thought hard about what they will do. You know, what can I do? And they kept thinking about it. There was a battle already taking place. 10,000 people from other tribes, Naphtali, for instance, Zebulun, they showed up. Reuben did not come. Why? Praise God, sister. because they could not make up their minds. Okay. Do you want to leave that and we deal with it after at the end of the service? Yeah. Okay. The Bible says Gilead played it safe across the Jordan. There are people in the house who are playing safe. No. I don't want to do it. Because they will call me tomorrow. They will call me again. Let me just stay here and let them assume I don't know how to do it. You know, because if I do it once, then they will call me again. Okay. And Dan, why did you go off, sailing? Went to the beach. People were fighting in a battle to deliver the house, to move the house forward. Dan was at the beach, sipping wine, maybe, you know. Asha kept his distance off the coast, safe and secure in his harbors. Asha said, well, the place where they are fighting is actually far from here. What's my trouble? What's my struggle? Let me just stay here. Whatever happens to them is not of my... But they were part of the same family. If they are delivered, they will all be delivered. If they are oppressed, they will all be oppressed. And that's the stance of people. And that's the stance of the people in this place. Go to the next one. But Zebulun, the Bible says, risk life and limb, defy death, and did as did Naphtali on the battle heights. This exactly was what happened why Meroz was cursed. Meroz was cursed not because of what Meroz did, but what he did not do. Meroz was cursed for his inaction. When there is a task in the house to do, and Meroz decided to fold his hands, that's why the curse came upon him. People of God, there are things that are taking place in our lives, and we think that they are ordinary. What if, just what if, they are product of curses that is happening to us because of our inaction in the things of God? What if they are actually curses placed by the heavens upon the things that we do because we chose not to be involved in the things that God is doing? That's the question I want you to answer, people of God, because it is not safe to keep off from the task of the house to which you are belong, to which you belong, to a place where you are planted. I mean, we know, for instance, there are people who come to this church who are not planted here. Not planted because they are never involved. You know, when you are planted in a place, you derive nourishment from the place, and you also produce fruit that is accessible to the place. So you take, but you give. As a matter of fact, you give more into the place because you are planted there. But if you are a weed, you're not planted. There are people who skip. You know, you ask somebody, so where's your church? Oh, I go everywhere. You know, I love to worship with different people of God. And they present it as if it's a positive achievement. You know, I'm in this church this week, and then next week I go. I just fellowship with the people of God because we are one. We are just one. That's ignorance. That's ignorance. They that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. They have flourished in the court of the Lord. Why? Because they are planted. They are planted. They don't go around visiting everywhere. They are planted. You know why it is easy for people to just visit here and there? Because they have no meaningful contribution to the body to which they claim to belong to. And that's why they can uphold themselves. And that's why somebody will say, and you know, they just asked me to come. Last week, they just asked me to come somewhere, and I just went to fellowship with them. And next week, I'm actually going to that. Because they don't have any meaningful contribution to the body to which they have been planted. It is important, people of God, that you are planted for a reason. And the reason is to make sure that you engage in the task of the house into which you have been planted. That's the reason. To engage meaningfully into the house. And that was why the curse came upon Meroz. For instance, people of God, and this is going to shock you, there are adults in this church who don't give to this church. And they claim that this is their house. At best, they just look at one coin that is left over and just toss it in there. I'm talking about full-grown adults that are working, that are getting paid, are making money, but they won't give to this house. No tithes, no offerings. Just some few change. Okay, there's something left in the wallet. Let me just throw it there. That should be enough for them. You know? And they are the one that will criticize what is not being done in the house. You know, things should be done better. You know, actually, we should get like a great stuff here. You mean with the silver coin? With the silver coin? People of God, when you are planted in the house, you take responsibility as being your house. It is not the pastor's house. It is your house. You are planted there, and you make a contribution to that house. That's where flourishing goes. That's where flourishing, the blessing of prosperity comes upon you as a people. Not just financially, but in every way. Why? Because you choose to be part of what is happening there. There are people who keep giving promises to their churches and to their homes, to their families. You know? I will do it if you call me. But we are calling. What else do we need to tell you that we're calling? We are calling. The Lord will speak to you. What can I do for this house? The Lord will speak to you. Talk to people. You are a member of the church. You are a part of the assembly of God. Make a contribution. Like I said, there are people in this house who don't give. They don't pay tithes. They don't pay offering. No consistent giving in this house. And this is a very key thing. Why? Because it is an expression of how much you value the Lord of the house into which you are planted. Your tithes. Your tithes. Just imagine what fantastic thing that we will all do if we all commit to even just giving our tithes to the house into which we have been planted. Into which we have been planted. And you know, the word is true. And what the Bible says from Genesis to Revelation is very correct. As I round up this morning, I want to challenge you, people of God. Stay under the blessing by getting involved in the house into which you have been planted. Get away from curses. This is what the Bible says in Malachi chapter 3. I know you don't like to hear it, but permit me to just say it again. Why? Because it reflects on the curses that come upon people that do not take part in supporting the work of the house to which they have been planted. Okay, it says this. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. Can you imagine robbers in church? But that's the situation here. You know, there are three sets of people in every community of faith that you go. There are those who do. There are those who think of doing. They keep thinking. Like we see in Reuben. There are those who keep thinking. There are those who don't do and they don't think. It doesn't cross their mind. I wish I could tell you that the first category is the only one that is in this church. I mean, the people that do. But that's not true. There are people in this church who do. And God bless them for doing. There are people in this church who keep thinking of doing. Who keep talking about it. They keep talking about tomorrow, next year. May I remind such people that today is the tomorrow that you talked about yesterday. Tomorrow. 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 Today is that tomorrow that you talked about. This year is the next year you talked about last year. And talking about giving, the Bible says in verse number 9, it says, "For you are cursed with a curse." You are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me even with this whole nation. Now, I know there are many theologies about giving tithes, for instance. In this house, we believe in it strongly. Why? Because the Bible says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Whose storehouse? His storehouse. This house is his storehouse. Why? There may be food there in my house for me to eat. No. It's for my house. It's for my house. Say, prove me now with this. If I, God, will not open for you the windows of heaven, that's the blessing. So what if I withhold this? You are withholding this and you are bringing yourself under a curse. You belong to the people of God, a people that are supposed to be blessed. But you are triggering an alarm of a curse. The same way it is in finances, the same way it is in any other area. You know, there are people in this house who will not do anything, who will not do a thing because they are not paid for it. Because they are not paid for it. They have the ability, they have the skill, but just because they will not want to do it for the house because they won't pay for it. And I'm not saying that because as a church we're looking for people that are going to be doing things for this house free. But I'm saying that will you not do something that costs you something for the Lord if you actually know the Lord is the one that is over the house and not the people? You know, this week I was speaking to a brother in this church and he did something and he said, the church should take care of that for him. He said, No. The Lord is blessing me. I'm just doing this as a part. I mean, that's the spirit of the house. That's the spirit of the house as a family. The reason why I'm bringing this to you, people of God, is that we're moving into a new realm in the house. And it is important for us as a house to do it together, to move into that realm together. And it's going to be a shame. It's going to be very disappointing if people are operating under curses when they are in the house, when there is tremendous blessing. So I will open the windows of heaven for you. And I've just shared with you, as I round up this morning, my testimony about Job, you know. The reason why I share that testimony is to encourage us to know that there is a force of blessing that we can trigger that will take us away from the realm of flapping. You know, we are born to be eagles in the house of the Lord. The eagle just spread his wing, see the wave, and just soar effortlessly. And that's why it is important for us to trigger the covenant that makes us to soar, not flap. The toiling in the world is a result of a curse. You know, somebody says, you know, I'm getting this because of this from the sweat of my brow. I said, that's a cursed man. It's a cursed man that started sweating from the brow before he will eat. A blessed man was not designed to eat from the bread. From the sweat of his face. A blessed man is supposed to eat from the blessing of his hands. I challenge you, people of God, to stay away from the curse of the law, to stay away from the curse that afflicts the people, the nations around us, and come under the blessing of God, and keep experiencing and keep activating the covenant of a blessing, the covenant of the blessing of God, by being obedient to being part of what the Lord is doing in the house to which you have been planted. And as you do that, you will see the Lord do miraculous things, great things in your life, in your family, in your home, in your endeavors. The Lord does things that you don't, you know, instead of all this struggling, the Lord begins to settle things and smoothing things out of your life without stress, without effort, because he is involved in sorting out your future that you know nothing about. Let us pray.